ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ 10th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 2 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 21 ಕಿಮಾದ್ಯ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಕರಣೀಯಮಶೂಮೇ ಯದರ್ಥ ತಂತ್ರೋ ನ ವಿಹಂತಿ ವಿಕ್ರಮಂ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಯಾ ಸ್ವರೂರ್ಗುರುಮತ್ಯಾವಧೋಯಂ ಯಶಾಶ್ರಿಯಂ ಹಂತ್ಯನು ಕಾಲಮಾಯುಃ ಕಿಮಾದ್ಯ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಕರಣೀಯಮಾಶುಮೇ ಯದರ್ಥ ತಂತ್ರೋ ನ ವಿಹಂತಿ ವಿಕ್ರಮಂ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಯಾ ಸ್ವರ್ಸೂರ್ಗುರುಮತ್ಯಾವಧೋಯಂ ಯಶಾಶ್ರೀಯಂ ಹಂತ್ಯನು ಕಾಲಮಾಯುಃ ಕಿಮಾದ್ಯ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಕರಣೀಯಮಾಶುಮೇ ಯದರ್ಥ ತಂತ್ರೋ ನ ವಿಹಂತಿ ವಿಕ್ರಮಂ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಯಾ ಸ್ವಸೂರ್ಗುರುಮತ್ಯಾವಧೋಯಂ ಯಶಾಶ್ರೀಯಂ ಹಂತ್ಯನು ಕಾಲಮಾಯುಃ ವೈಷ್ಣವೀಸ್ word by word kim what adya now immediately tasmin in this situation karaniyam is to be done ashu without delay me my duty Yat, because. Artatantraha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always determined to protect the sadhus and kill the asadhus. Na, does not. Vihanti, give up. Vikramam, his prowess. Striyaha, of a woman. Swasuhu, of my sister. Guru Matya, especially when she is pregnant. Vada Ayam, the killing. Yashaha, fame. Shriyam, opulence. Hanti, will vanquish. Anukulam, forever. Ayuhu, and the duration of life. Translation. Comes a thought, what is my duty now? The Supreme Lord who knows His purpose, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya shadushkritam, will not give up His prowess. Devaki is a woman. She is my sister. And moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. According to Vedic principles, a woman, a brahmana, an old man, a child and a cow should never be killed. It appears that Kamsa, although a great enemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was aware of the Vedic culture and conscious of the fact that the soul transmigrates from one body to another and that one suffers in the next life according to the karmas of this life. Therefore, he was afraid of killing Devaki. Since she was a woman, she was his sister and she was pregnant. A Kshatriya becomes famous by performing heroic acts. But what would be heroic about killing a woman who, while confined in his custody, was under his shelter? Therefore, he did not want to act drastically by killing Devaki. Kamsa's enemy was within Devaki's womb. But killing an enemy in a nation state would not be an exhibition of prowess. According to Kshatriya rules, an enemy should be fought face to face and with proper weapons. Then, if the enemy is killed, the victor becomes famous. Kamsa very conscientiously deliberated upon these facts and therefore refrained from killing Devaki, although he was completely confident that his enemy had already appeared within the womb, within her womb. If you like to repeat the translation, Kamsa thought, what is my duty now? The Supreme Lord, who knows His purpose, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatushkritam, will not give up His promise. Devaki is a woman. She is my sister. And moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. It is worthy to study all the considerations that Kamsa has studied because he's been contemplating on this moment for years. It's not a surprise. The first point is that Vedic knowledge is so powerful and bona fide that even demons, they gave it due consideration. And because this knowledge is actually coming directly from the Supreme Lord, that's why it is so powerful and effective. We can see in many other instances in Srimad Bhagavatam, even Jarasandha, who was the father-in-law of Kamsa, he was having similar feelings. He actually said when Arjuna, Bhima and Krishna arrived in disguise of Brahmana, they came there to ask him charity, to fight with him. And when Jarasandha figured out that they were Brahmanas and they were here to ask for that charity, he said, you didn't have to do that. You could have just asked me my head, I would have given it. So Jarasandha was actually let's say officially very religious. He was considered to be a very religious person who was always following the religious rules and regulations and all the Vedic injunctions. Okay, thank you. And so there are many more examples. For instance, there's also Hiranyakashipu. You know, there's a whole chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam dedicated to the preaching and philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. And he is speaking to the point, very Vedic. He is following all the Vedic rules and regulations. But very soon, after a while, in the seventh canto, we see that he completely loses it. ಅನುಜನಾದ ಹಿರಣ್ಯಾಕ್ಷನ ಮರಣವನ್ನು ಕೇಳಿಯಾಗ ನಡೆದ ತಪಸ್ಸಿಗೆ ಹರಿಯ ಮೇಲೆ ಸಿಟ್ಟಿನಿಂದ ಉಗ್ರ ತಪಸ್ಸನ್ನು ಮಾಡಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನಿಂದ ವರಗಳನ್ನು ಪಡೆದುಕೊಂಡು ಬಂದನಾಗ. ಸೊ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಫಿಲಾಸಾಫಿಕಲ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆವೆಂತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ವಿ ಸೀ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಎನ್ರೇಜ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಎನ್ವಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಂಗರ್. And he does severe austerities and tapasya to please Brahma so he can get benedictions, and basically he goes and he loses it. Indra loka sure madida muru loka ke asura tanna bhayava torida garbhini kayaduvannu Brahma putra bandhu aga daitya raja Hiranya Kashipuvike oppisidanu. So after Hiranyakashipu went and caused terror in the heavenly planets and all the demigods were running here and there out of fear, we have an extreme opposite example of what we are seeing here. Like here, Kamsa is considering to kill Devaki, and in that time there was Kayadu who was pregnant. This is the wife of a demon who was pregnant. She was pregnant with Prahlad, and the demigods had a similar consideration. They also wanted to kill Kayadu. They wanted to kill the baby in the womb because they thought this must be a more powerful demon than Hiranyakashipu. However, Narad Muni, because of his faith and because of his non-envious towards the Supreme Lord, understanding who the real person was inside the womb, stopped the demigods. Today's verse is 20 and 21. So I would like to also read text 20 as I was reminded, because I did not read it. Text 20. Tam viksha kamsaha prabhaya jitantaram virochayantim bhavanam suchi smitam ahai same pranaharo harir guham druvanam shrito yana preyam idrishi. Translation. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was within her womb, Devaki illuminated the entire atmosphere in the place where she was confined. Seeing her jubilant, pure and smiling, Kamsa thought, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is now within her, will kill me. Devaki has never before looked so brilliant and jubilant. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada ki dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise in irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In this age, at the present moment, there are inordinate discrepancies in the discharge of human duties. Human life is meant for God realization, but unfortunately the materialistic civilization is stressing only the senses of the body, not understanding the living forces within the body. As clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosminyatarehe, within the body is the body's proprietor, the living force, which is more important. But human society has become so fallen that instead of understanding the living force within the body, people have become busy with external things. This is a discrepancy in human duties. Therefore, Krishna has taken birth or taken shelter within the womb of the Krishna consciousness movement. Men of Kamsa's class, therefore, are very much afraid and are busy trying to stop this movement, especially in the Western countries. One politician has remarked that the consciousness movement is spreading like an epidemic, and that if not checked immediately, within 10 years, it may capture governmental power. There is, of course, such potency in the Krishna consciousness movement. As stated by authorities, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 1722, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatara. In this age, Krishna has appeared in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading like wildfire all over the world, and it will go on doing so. Men who are like Kamsa are very much afraid of the government's progress and acceptance by the younger generation. But as Kamsa could not be killed by Krishna, could not be killed by Kamsa, this movement cannot be checked by men of Kamsa's class. The movement will go on increasing more and more, provided the leaders of the movement remain firmly Krishna conscious by following the regulative principles and the primary activities of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki! Today is the 54th anniversary of the most important journey in the history of humanity. This is the day that Srila Prabhupada left India to go to America. This is the day that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message was taken across from Bharatavarsha to the Western countries, and it stayed there. Because there were attempts previously in bringing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to the West, but this journey set the history of the message remaining there and spreading exactly as this purport describes. So, there is this anger and envy, which is the enemy of following Vedic injunctions. We can see that Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Jarasandha, they were all very well aware of the knowledge, of Vedic knowledge. They had it, but they were unable to take advantage of the purpose of it. Vedaischa sarvaira hameva vedyo vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. So the purpose of the Vedas is Krishna. The origin of the Vedas is Krishna. So the ultimate essence and the purpose of following all these injunctions is to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. But here we can see that, you know, so much, he has gathered so much knowledge, Kamsa has gathered so much knowledge from the scriptures, but at the same time, because of his lack of faith in the Supreme Lord and because of his envy towards the Supreme Lord, he couldn't follow the instructions, because quite little later we will see that he loses it and he creates a big chaos for himself and for everyone involved. And in the verse here, Yadartha Tantro, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always determined to protect the sadhus and kill the asadhus. Our previous acharyas, in their commentary to this verse, they give a very deep psychological analysis of Kamsa's different angles of consideration. And one of this is, he is, Sridhar Swami, in his commentary, he translates this Artha Tantra as Deva Karya Pradhana. Means that for the sake of accomplishing the Deva Karya, means the demigod's work, the Supreme Lord will not let me go. He will be bold to kill me. So considering this, later on Sridhar Swami is also saying that in this way, in that case, she must be killed now, Kamsa is thinking. But then thinking of his own valor, he thought, well, if I kill her now, then my prestige, my fame, my opulence, mine. So he's considering himself. So all the different acharyas, I was studying the different commentaries, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, they all basically say how his concern was himself. He wasn't concerned about Devaki. He wasn't thinking how much pain she's going to suffer if I kill her. That was not at all his consideration. His consideration was, what about my fame? What about my? So this, according to Krishna, is the 2.42. Krishna is saying, Veda Vada Ratha Partha. So this is the way to follow the Vedic injunctions, to enjoy the fruits of the results of performing those different Vedic activities. It is not actually meant for the real purpose, which is to please the Lord, but it is meant for the sense gratification purpose. So the constant being himself, this is actually very relevant for us, because in the purport, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of protecting women, protecting brahmanas, and later in the middle of the purport, where Srila Prabhupada is speaking the mind of Kamsa, but what would be heroic about killing a woman who, while confined in his custody, was under his shelter? Technically, Devaki is under the shelter of Kamsa, so he's supposed to protect her. In one sense, this decision is a kind of a turning point after all these years of contemplation to kill her. Now he's like, okay, I don't want to kill because I want to protect my own fame. So in one sense, he is appearing to protect her. And this is like the Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. It's like half chicken logic. It's like not really protecting, but appearing to also kind of give shelter to somebody who is under his shelter. And the philosophy of Vedic knowledge is, first is to listen carefully, shravanam. So if we, shrinvan, if the hearing is done properly, then supatan, we have to repeat diligently and faithfully. The most important, the third step is vicharana paro, means we have to contemplate and we have to put it into practice. So this point of introspection is what is lacking when it comes to demons who strictly try to follow Vedic rules, but they do not contemplate and do not apply. So how is this relevant for us? We talk a lot about protection of women, protection of brahmanas, protection of children, etc. So I thought today we can focus, because this verse is all about this great virtuous Devaki who has all the divine qualities within her and who has taken shelter of Kamsa, or somehow kept under the shelter of Kamsa, and the same person who is supposed to protect her is abusing her. So what do we mean when we say protection? When we say women should be protected, this instruction is obviously not for the women. It's actually for the men. And the instruction is, it's a very, the word protection is a very, it's like, you can say it's like a two-sided sharp sword. It has the direct external meaning, and then it has the subtle meaning of the motivation of the person who's trying to protect. And I thought this example of Kamsa in this case, he's thinking of social considerations. He's thinking of what will people say if I kill her. So that's his main consideration. Sometimes we can find so many different instructions regarding women in the scriptures that we could also like try to do this half chicken logic, take half and not want to consider the other half. So then it's like, we know the story of the half chicken logic. There was a chicken who was giving a golden egg every day, and the person thought, oh my God, I have to feed this chicken every day. What if I cut it open, all the golden eggs will come out? And then he killed the chicken and he got nothing. So this is the risk of trying to take Vedic instructions and injunctions out of context. Because the motivation for which we study or quote the Vedic injunction has to be checked properly, and only we can know our intentions of why we are trying to take shelter of this particular quote. So both men and women, we would need to take the philosophy as a whole and not only try to take one part or the other, because there could be the risk of, we could have the mentality of Kamsa. We want to protect the woman so that we can feel superior, because Kamsa is actually feeling quite insecure here. So he is trying to do this as a favor to protect himself, and it could appear that he's protecting Devaki without killing her. He's doing a favor to her. In today's world, even 5,000 years ago, we see Kamsa being so abusive to somebody, he needs to get protection. And we saw even Duryodhana, he was insulting somebody who was in the position of the mother, Draupadi. So even 5,000 years ago, there was women abuse by people that were supposed to give shelter, people that were supposed to worship and take care of women. And today's state, I don't have to go into details, but we can see the Pratyaksha. We can see the stories of countless number of women who are supposed to be protected by the men, the same men abuse them. And there are so many cases like this. Unfortunately, even within spiritual communities, different spiritual organizations, people who take up to spiritual path, we see this problem. And we could have this risk again of trying to push the idea of trying to force, whether it's women, whether it's the working class, whether it's the children, brahmanas, whatever, the principle, if we try to push women or shudras or whoever to try to follow the religious system which was working previously in this age, now where the situation is not favorable, it can actually cause adverse effects. It's something like, I was thinking of an example. You know, there are many buildings even in Mayapur, it's not fully constructed, it's left off, and there are many buildings that don't even have stairs. So imagine, like, we bring a person to the door and say, now you walk up, and imagine the little lady there walk up, how? There's no stairs. So, by the way, you know, just this week, the Indian government, they made a new rule, they passed a rule that, this is especially for the Muslim community, there was a system, according to the Quran, that if a man says talaq three times, he can leave the wife. And that's like divorce, right? And the Indian government, seeing the misuse of this, which is a traditional law for the Muslims, got fried about it. They saw so many abuses happening in this. So they decided that no more. So if a man, Muslim man, says talaq three times, it's not divorce. He has to go through the legal procedure, etc., etc. So we can see that in the society, the Srimad Bhagavatam also predicted, there are many predictions in the 12th canto, and Srimad Bhagavatam also predicted this thing about not having the stairs. I mean, it doesn't say stairs, but this analogy of how most men will be unqualified, many men will become unqualified, and women will not have protection. Just take this quote. Narakshishanti manuja stavirau pitarau api putran bharyam chakulajam kshudra shishnodaram varaha. 12.3.42. Men will no longer protect their elderly parents, their children, or their respectable wives. Thoroughly degraded, they will care only to satisfy their own bellies and genitals. So, if we want to follow the Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to take the philosophy as a whole. We need to see different layers of instructions. So the pramana is the proof, the references, the quotes of the scriptures. But we also need to see the pratyaksha, meaning what is happening, what is currently going on. And we need to match those two. In other words, like Srila Prabhupada used to say, time, place and circumstance. So there are different instructions given in the scriptures, there are different levels of reality, there are different levels of prediction in Kali Yuga, and we need to be careful how we judge people who have gone through abuse, judge people who may be single parents. I really wish to pay obeisances to all the single mothers in our communities who do a thankless task of taking care of their children, doing the mother's job and the father's job and doing everything. I don't know how they do it, because I grew up in a joint family and I know to bring up one child takes a whole village. And we will come shortly about this now, but the point is, even Srimad Bhagavatam has predicted this. So we need to prepare our society in a way. Think of our daughters, those of us who have daughters. What do we want to tell them? What kind of future do we want them to have? Do we tell them, depend on the man is your future, the man is the only person who can have, you have hope only to the man. That's all right, but then we have to be very careful what kind of a man we give, hand them over to. He has to be very qualified, so he can actually protect the enthusiasm of our girls. To protect the enthusiasm of women is the real protection. So we can encourage women to come closer to Krishna, to engage in nature and devotional service. And so the point is helping them within civilized parameters. We can think of how we can help the girls, the women, to act according to their nature. Some of them are excellent mothers. How can we support them so they can fulfill their duty, their purpose, in an excellent way? Some of them are great, they may be great businessmen. They really know how to run businesses. And some women may be great speakers. So similarly, there are different natured women that within our community we can plan how to give them that balance. Because on one level, the modern education system, the modern corporate world, it's a hell, because it pushes people into something that is not really natural. In India especially, there are a lot of parents who are really confused about how they should train their daughters. They send their daughters to the modern educational systems where they are forced to become competitive, they're forced to become aggressive, and then they have to work really hard and get into corporate worlds or jobs, etc. Then the same parents confuse their kids because they themselves are confused and tell them, now you need to change all that, now you have to become submissive, you have to serve your husband, you have to do it this way. So there's a lot of contradictions, am I right? We have an example, there is a very big contradiction between how we are training our children, our girls, and what we are later on trying to force them into. So there are two types of, I would say, violence, abuse, aggression that's going on in today's world, which is again emotional in nature. Like imagine, Kamsa is not killing Devaki, but still there's so much violence right there going on. One type of violence is to expect or force the women to behave like they have protection. Then force them into situations where they actually don't have protection, but they have to act like. You can give your own purports to what you see around to this principle. Another is to, again, try to confuse them, put them into a system where you know that it doesn't work, you know it's not favorable, but then confuse them because of our own ambitions. I have family and friends, they wanted the children to study hard, go to the West, and the children studied hard, they went to the West, and then the mothers wanted them to come back because they were getting old. They wanted the sons to come and take care of them. Forget it. The son said, no, I have a life now. I have a job, I want to have a family, I want to marry a Western lady. So it's like, I've seen so many people within my own family and relatives and friends, it's like they have these precious children who they can train in Dharma Shastras, in Vedic culture, to make them into civilized human beings so they can, we can have a wonderful world. Instead, they literally lose them because of their own ambitions. Because those same women they took some pride, they took some happiness in telling everyone, my son is in America, you know, he's earning this much, you know. But then later on, that same thing gave them so much pain. They were suffering alone in their deathbed. There is no one near them. So there's a lot of confusion, contradictions that we need to face. As we are still young as a religious organization, we're learning. So we're not perfect, but we're really far away from what Srila Prabhupada had envisioned. Whether it's women or whether it's anything, when we talk about Varnashram, I heard this sentence that really touched me, and I truly believe this. Varnashram without Gurukul is just a hobby. Varnashram without Gurukul is just a hobby. So these things that Srila Prabhupada is talking here, protection of women, protection of brahmanas, protection of children, these are all interconnected. Why? Because if women are taken care, then the children will be healthy. They will come out with less baggage, more psychologically stable. But if the families are dysfunctional, then the kids come out messed up. No amount of philosophy, no amount, no thunder, no lightning is equal to good parenting. Nothing can change or form children like good parenting can do. And in order for children to be protected, we need good teachers. And good teachers means within, I'm talking right now, and I'm talking more about our community. So how we can look at ourselves. How much are we investing into education? How are the teachers treated? How much do we value teachers? Because they are the ones who really give the culture, the base, the foundation for our kids. And how many gurukuls do we have? And how much are we investing into education for children? How much are we investing into building buildings? We can see as a society where we are putting our interest, where is our priority. And then we can see the result of that within our families, within our communities. So these are very, very interconnected things. They're not separate from each other. Interestingly, when Kamsa here is speaking about Yasha Shriyam Hantya Nukulam Ayuhu, and he's talking about fame and fortune, and this is again a very, very powerful point. He is connecting fortune, fame, duration of life, all these opulences to killing a woman. Means if I kill a woman, I will not have those things. And that is brings to this beautiful verse where Krishna also is speaking about same qualities. When he's speaking in 10th chapter, 10:34, I believe, when he's saying, Kirtihi Shrir Vakcha Nari Nam Smritir Medha Driti Kshamaha. So, Kshama, among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Fortune. Fortune is not just wealth, it's also wealth. Manyana manasatkaraha means how you treat other people can bring you fortune. And a good example is in Mahabharata, in the Anushasana Parva, there is this beautiful conversation between Draupadi and Satyabhama. And they're discussing about how to utilize different wealth, how to utilize that in order to bring fortune. And it is said that a woman was trained with all the good qualities, all the 64 arts, and Draupadi, for instance, she was in charge of the whole wealth of the Pandavas. She knew when, how, and to whom charity needs to be done so that specific fortune, specific kind of fame, and specific kind of opulence can come into the kingdom. So she would divide the money into different kinds of charities. To the poor, to the brahmanas, to the handicapped, to the beggars, and how this money was utilized for what kind of yajnas, what kind of charity, all these things, she was in charge of that. So In this sense, the quality of fortune is connected with a woman because she has been given, endowed. Krishna has empowered women with these qualities. It's a vibhuti, it's one of the opulence of Krishna, and he has invested them in different people, and within women he has invested these qualities. Let's see a few more of what these qualities mean. Also memory. There's a lot of jokes about women. They say that a woman remembers what you told her 20 years ago and she can still quote it. Those of us have experience, we know that. That is true. So it is said that she has been gifted with this memory. Like a man has that resistance, that hard work, the capacity, goes to the Gurukul every day, consistently sits down, learns how to do yajna, he learns how to study, recite, all these things. But a woman, it is said, she can sit down in one lecture, by listening very attentively, she can remember all the points. And she can actually teach her children and everybody that comes in contact with her. How amazing is Krishna, right? It's his memory and he has given that. And Vak, most important, this is something I wanted to say even earlier. The speech of a woman is so powerful, it's so powerful that in different areas, in different, we can say in Jyotish, or whether in philosophy, even modern psychology concludes this, that when a mother nourishes the child with sweet words, fine speech, when the mother, what she's able to give through her speech, through her character, through her nourishment to the child, it's irreplaceable with any amount of education, any amount of force that can be put upon people, children. No amount of philosophical lectures, no amount of spiritual activities can actually give that nourishment that is there in the mother's speech towards the child. Within our Vedic culture, it's also said a mother should never curse a child because she has a power of speech that it can come true. So the mother has to always be positive. She should always bless the child. She should always be positive. And that of course depends on what kind of parenting that she had and how she's able to do that. These are qualities Krishna has given, but it depends on us if and how we utilize it. And then of course the main important thing that Kamsa is also talking here is the yasha, means the fame aspect. So a woman, it is said, she has all these qualities that she has. She acts in ways to make... What does kirti mean? Krishna is saying kirti. Kirti basically means actions that are worthy of being glorified. Kirti, kirtanam, things that's worthy to be glorified. So a woman has that capacity to act in a way that she's glorified. And these are connected. These qualities that Krishna is mentioning, this what Kamsa is saying here, these are Vedic culture. And in India, even today when a girl is born, I mean today I don't know, but civilized Vedic families know this, when a girl is born, they say Lakshmi Devi is born, right? And it's a sign of great fortune. Means they take very good care of her, etc. Good families, cultured families. Also, I remember very well my grandfather. He was very, very tolerant and he adored my mother, she has a short-tempered nature, yet he would always be kind. He said, she's our Griha Lakshmi. She's the goddess of fortune. She has come to our house. I want to take care of her better than her father did. So these are the Vedic culture where how a woman is treated. And I saw my grandfather doing that very directly, pratyaksha of that. So these are the powers that the Lord has invested in women and Kamsa is afraid of losing them. And I also want to mention that the principle that I said about not forcing women into behaving as if they have protection, it applies also to working class. Imagine the Shudras, it is said they are not supposed to have money. They're not supposed to have a bank account, right? Imagine that situation today. This is not Rama Rajya. This is not Rama ruling or Yudhishthir Maharaj ruling. Imagine we tell these workers, hey, you just come, you serve me, I feed you. Right? Do we have qualified kshatriyas and vaishyas who can really take care of these workers? The worker becomes sick, he becomes old. What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to his family? So again, therefore it's allowed that he can have a bank account, take care of himself, because he cannot act as if there is a system where he can act according to the religious principles that has been recommended. So there has to be these kind of adjustments based on the scriptures with wisdom. Also children, I mean, today in the modern world, children are not protected. They have become like victims of commercialization. Everything is just meant toys, selling them toys, selling them junk food. No, there is no concept of protecting children in the modern world. And we need to do different. If we want to follow the Vedic culture, we want to follow Srimad Bhagavatam, then again, as I said, the solution is Gurukul, training children in the right way. Also, teachers, I had one experience I thought that reflected the state of how teachers are treated. This is in India. I've been to different countries, I've met different audiences. I had an occasion to address a group of teachers here in India, somewhere. Don't want to mention the name, it's not the point. They were the worst audience that I ever faced before. Group of teachers. They were completely out of control. They couldn't keep quiet. They were so noisy. And I was so shocked. Then I inquired further to understand what's going on. Then I was told that in India, people who don't make it anywhere else become teachers. And which means they're not really interested in teaching. Nor are they really putting their heart into it. So what happens is, they become uncontrolled. And it was a very sad state. Because the traditional system, the Bhagavatam system, is the best people become the teachers. And now, the whole thing is topsy-turvy. It's the opposite. People are, I mean, like engineering is actually a Shudra job. And in India, they consider that the highest. And teaching is actually a Brahminical job, and they consider that in the bottom. Wow! So if we follow the modern trend, we're going to end up very messed up. And that's the situation. So one very important point I wanted to mention. All these Vedic injunctions, when it is mentioned about the man, women, the man is like this, the man is like that, it's talking about man who's a snataka. Means a man who's been trained in Gurukul for 20 years. He knows how to control his senses. He knows how to really perform his duties. It's not any man. So these, we shouldn't apply again, oh, any man. So we have to be careful when we take this. I want to say this example. I have a friend told me the first day of her marriage, her husband was washing her clothes. And she was like shocked, she was terrified because she's from an Indian background. And she was like, oh my God, what's happening? And she said, what are you doing, Prabhu? He said, I'm washing your clothes. But a wife is supposed to wash the clothes. And he said, if you can wash my clothes, why can't I? And so this is a snataka, this is a man who's trained properly. This is a man who doesn't have insecurity. This is not a man who is trying left and right to gain security. He has that security in himself. He knows how to take care of his wife. He knows he can take care of his children. He doesn't consider superior, inferior tasks because he has a higher understanding of what is manhood. He has masculinity in place, we can say. Because usually when we try to take things out of context, it could be because of insecurity. Because of we demand, hey, you should be submissive to me. Means there's something wrong, but that he's unable to behave in a way that she can respect, maybe. Also, not discounting women. Sometimes women say, well, you know, women are less intelligent, so it's not my fault. I can get away with anything. So, you know, the balance has to be there. I mean, we can talk many more things about these topics. There are social issues that we need to address and Today is the 54th year where Srila Prabhupada set out on this most important journey. All these things we discussed can become determining factor of how we can be successful in keeping up the task, the mission that Srila Prabhupada started. And all these social issues are very important to address. So this is something I kind of keep it out there for each of us to meditate and pray. And just to say a few words about Srila Prabhupada, when I first read Lilamrita and I read that he asked for a ticket on a ship to Sumati Murarji, the first thought that came to my mind, why didn't she give a flight ticket? She could have given a flight ticket, you know, all this drama. And when I later on read Srila Prabhupada's diary, he writes that he's so grateful to Sumati Murarji for organizing this, and he's quoting every detail of that little ship and that little room he has, and he's grateful for each of those things. That humbled me so much. Because when we think of Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, my first thought, why couldn't she give a flight ticket? But then when I read Srila Prabhupada's mood, I said, that's not the point. The point is that Srila Prabhupada was so focused on fulfilling his purpose in life, focused on his mission. He wasn't thinking, I am an old man, I should be protected. I am the Acharya and I should be taken better care. He was not putting his mind on those things. He was just becoming nimittamatram. He was just becoming an instrument so that the Lord could work through him. So he was having that intention to be a transparent via medium. And it's so beautiful when you study this story of Srila Prabhupada and all the details. It's really, really humbling. When Srila Prabhupada went asking for the ticket, there was so much discouragement. When Srila Prabhupada told Mr. Chokshi to tell Sumati Murarji, he coached him what to tell her. And, he wants to go to the United States, preach something to the people there. Mrs. Murarji was not inspired. And she said, no, he's not healthy, it's too cold, and so many things. And finally, when she relented and gave the ticket, she said, you know, Swamiji, what my secretaries say? They say that you're going to die there. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's not like that. And like trying to explain to a daughter who was doubtful, he explained to her, no, it's not like that. Because he had that faith. As we started the class today, the problem was Kamsa did not have faith. And he was envious. And Srila Prabhupada was fully non-envious and he had complete faith in the plan of the Supreme Lord. So with this, I end here. Thank you so much for this service. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. I guess we don't have time for questions. So.
Thank you for your class. It was very rich and a lot of strength, spiritual strength and transparent. I would like to ask how to react if we feel some abuse in our society, and how to kindly to show the way.
So the question is how to react when there is an abuse in our community, and what should be our
behave and talk.
What should be our behavior?
What should we do?
So if I understand you correctly, this is in general. This is a question in general. Like somebody is abused within the community, how should we react? Yeah. I mean, there are certain efforts in ISKCON. Like there is a child protection team. So if it's regarding child abuse, then we can actually take help from them. In some cases, maybe it's good to take help in a subtle way. No, not to put the parents in limelight and try to take help in a subtle way. Another important thing that comes to mind is to not be judgmental, to be compassionate. And I've seen many cases where the parent who is abusive had an abusive parent, and that's all they know. So it's like a circle, that vicious circle that goes on, continues. We can try to be compassionate, pray for the person. Krishna, please give intelligence to these parents so they can become healed and not to become negative and difficult with them, to shun them, to put them into a certain category, but try to be, but at the same time take measures, do something. But also both parents have to be ready for that. Like sometimes the woman is not yet ready to come out and take help, then it's difficult. I think what I would do is pray. Because prayer is the most effective in these cases.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you for the class. You made many wonderful points. I needed a few clarifications. In the beginning, you mentioned the protection of women. Of women is obviously an instruction meant just for men.
I cannot hear somehow.
In the beginning of the class, you mentioned that this instruction of protecting the woman is...
Women should be protected. Okay,
protected,
yeah.
Is just an instruction purely for men, intended for men. But you didn't talk about the role of a woman in allowing herself to be protected. You spoke of training for the boys in the Gurukula as brahmacharis, but then on the other side, you didn't speak about training of girls. Also, Prabhupada speaks about this, how they should be raised to become chaste and faithful to the wife and become good in cooking so they can please their husband. And at one point you mentioned protecting a woman means protecting her enthusiasm. And can you quote Srila Prabhupada on this topic? And my final clarification I would like you to make is, you mentioned about this man who washed his wife's clothes, and this is real masculinity, you said. Like, how do we justify that? Is there no hierarchy of like husband and wife? I mean, really.
Thank you. So if I understand you correctly, your question is regarding different kinds of points, different points of perspective that I brought into the class in the beginning when I said that the instruction that women should be protected is actually for the men. So that's like your... And then I also spoke about women should be trained and taken care, and they should also learn to take care of themselves. I mean, I don't remember exactly saying that like that, but I said, I quoted Srimad Bhagavatam that it says men will be unable to protect. So it's like you should know that. So it was more like that. And then you asked about the example of a man... the duties, like practical details of what a person, man does or woman does. Very interesting topic. And I think these discussions, if it's done in a, you know, like a common ground way, we will have less dissension within our movement, because I think there is a lot of dissension regarding these ideas of duties of a man, duties of a woman. I'll give you an example. One wise guru, ISKCON guru, was given with a book about the duties of a woman's Sri Dharma book. They published a book. So they brought it to him and offered it to him. Before accepting it, he asked, where is the book for the man? And he said, there isn't. He said, take all these books that you printed and throw it in the Ganga. So the idea is, the point is that the instruction has to be there for both. That's the balance, that's the point. So the first point about women should be protected, it's like a child, no? It's like children should be protected. Say, hey, you should be protected. If you tell the child, what is it supposed to do? Right? It's because it's something that the parents are supposed to do. So similarly, the instruction, sometimes we Sometimes we have the tendency to blame the woman for maybe the man leaving her or etc. Right? So you say, you should be protected. And she's like, I would love to be protected. There are many women who say that, like they would love to be protected. But somehow, unfortunately, there are dozens of cases where, unfortunately, even within our organization, not only our organization, even Christians, even Muslims have this issue. Even within our communities where we talk so much about Vedic culture, there are men who are very irresponsible, right? And Srila Prabhupada quoted, there are different places he quoted it, but he says that the man has to be first class, then everything is going to be all right. So that's one quote that comes to mind. And there's a letter, later on I can send it to you or something, very beautiful by Srila Prabhupada, where he is bringing up this idea of protecting the enthusiasm of the woman. It's not something I came up with, but it's actually Srila Prabhupada, at least in one particular letter, he writes that to the husband, talking about the wife. And there are several instances where Srila Prabhupada gave opportunity to the women to somehow, you know, these were hippies, right? But he was always encouraging. So from his own personal example, we can see that he was always trying to protect the enthusiasm of everyone, not just women, but everyone. But I've heard stories where the men, they lock the door of the house of where the woman is inside so the woman doesn't come out. And when you talk to these men, they say, this is protection. But the woman may be feeling suffocated because she cannot associate with anybody. So these are like extreme examples, of course. But if I can be, like the clarification I want to say is, I can send you this letter of Srila Prabhupada. The point is that there has to be good balance. And my main request was, as a society, as ISKCON, we need to together come up with some ideas that is dharmic, that is within the civilized parameters, in a way that can actually protect the enthusiasm of women in whatever given circumstances, so she can come closer to Krishna. What it is, we can discuss. It's not, I don't have a clear suggestion or idea, but this is just like a meditation that we can invest into. That's something. Thank you. We can discuss more, a lot more on this. Thank you very much for your attention. Hare Krishna.